Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Addy, coming to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Listen, Tiki, I gotta just throw this out. It is very rare. Now, there are times during the show, as you could attest, where I might get worked up in a lather. You watch the show. You know I'm an emotional type. I get emotionally invested in what I'm talking about.
Yeah, all that stuff. We know your craziness.
That's a good way to basically. that's a short scouting report. Yeah, that's good. It's very rare though that I start a show where I'm absolutely ticked off, like really unhappy and pissed off about something.
You're mad?
And today's that day.
Why?
I'm driving home last night. I'm stuck in the Lincoln Tunnel, which will just add to the angst, but I'm actually used to it, so it's not that big of a deal. You're used to the other tunnel,
course.
Whatever.
BT and I both get about 30 minutes it takes to get through a tunnel that's literally a mile and a half away from me.
Yeah, and it is a slow, miserable, methodical, maddening crawl.
Right.
But aside from that, so I get an alert on my phone. I flip it open. I'm barely moving so I can look down. So don't tweet me. Oh, don't tweet and drive. I don't do that.
I watch movies and drive. But
I know you do, actually. This guy reads books and drives. And I check, I see an alert, Bloomberg News, you know, one of the many things I follow like you. And I see this note about how the Yankees and the Red Sox are preparing to play a two-game series. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Not in Japan, where there's great baseball lineage.
Okay.
Not in Mexico. Not in Puerto Rico. In London.
They got cricket.
In 2019.
They got cricket, BT.
Well, they could keep cricket.
Kind of like baseball. Not really.
The more I think about this. Now, you've worked with me a long time. You know that my general reaction, and please, if you start tweeting and you start calling and you try to throw the line, it's about growing the game, it's about monetization, it's about this, apparel, merchandise, I'm literally going to hang up on you. I know that.
It is.
I understand that. That's a given.
Okay.
All right. That's not a variable. That's
you're
a given.
Like cutting down on my retorts right now.
Well, that's so preemptive. See, I'm like presenting my position while simultaneously shooting down yours.
Yes, you are.
That's pretty hard to do.
I gotta come up with some
but I'll
more.
Take it. You'll get time to get
listening.
There. I know you will.
I'm listening. Something will jump in my head.
I look at this, and I just want to make sure I didn't get anything wrong. So it's not too long of a list, right? And I'm all about global expansion, and you know, monetarily speaking, I get it. Mid-90s, Mets and the Padres play a three-game set in Mexico.
Yep.
Fernando Valenzuela, one of the great pitchers and great Mexican descent. I mean, Mexican.
It makes sense.
The influence is undeniable.
The connection was, you could feel it.
Mm-hmm. 99, a couple of years after that, the Rockies and the Padres go to Mexico. In 2000, Cubbies and the Mets started the season in Japan. And that was where I first started to get a little annoyed. I'm like, now we're taking away something that we cherish, opening day, but at least Japan, even going back to Sadahara, one of the great names from the 70s, and he's like basically the Japanese Babe Ruth, long time before Ichiro and the great players that we know now from Japan. All right, I'm not a Mets fan, I'm kind of get over it.
But it was homage to those Japanese players that were starting to come over.
Okay.
Now there are a few.
Which is why I didn't go nuts.
Okay.
It was a sensible point in the development of the game to do that.
Yeah.
Strategically, I got it. Then they took my Yankees and they sent them over there. And they played the Devil Rays when they were still the Devil Rays in 04. And they opened the season there. And that drove me nuts, right? But you deal with it. Then in 08, they send the Red Sox and the A's to Tokyo. Seattle and the A's in 2012. And then the dopiness back in 2014. Remember when Clayton Kershaw came back with a bum back?
Australia.
Yeah. Where it was like they started the regular season, if I recall. Then they went back to spring training. Then they resumed and reconvened. Just idiotic,
and
right?
He was on the DL for a while after that.
Oh, that's the origin of his back issues. Now, maybe he was predisposed. Who knows? But you can circle that.
It's kind of a short flight. Only, 24 hours?
It's idiotic. The baseball season is an absolute grind. We know this. Mm-hmm. 162 games, barring a rainout or you know something wacky. You play 27 out of 30 times a month. You have bi-coastal travel. I mean, there's 3 and 4 hour games. It's a hard grind. So logistically, to do this in the middle of the season, That's one angle, but I'll even kick that aside because that's not my real anger. My real source of anger is to, and I'll throw this in there so I don't sound like the loud, you know, one-sided New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right? There is nothing more cherished in all the baseball, and this is what I'll throw in. Maybe the Giants and the Dodgers, maybe, just to sound balanced. That's not even up there. Then Yankees and Red Sox.
Is it still?
100%.
Okay.
1,000%.
It feels less so. Ever since the Red Sox won a championship. Won championships, I should say. It just feels less so. It's been altered a bit.
It doesn't
feel like the anger is still there.
It's a difference.
The competitiveness is still there, but the anger is
I'll give you that. There's no... vitriol. It was teetering on the brink of implosion.
Ugliness.
Emotional implosion and ugliness. Yeah. Better way to say it. Don Zimmer getting thrown to the ground. Pedro and all. I mean, that was sloppiness. Although it was great to watch. It was great. Not Zimmer getting thrown down, but all the nuttiness, right?
The drama.
I want to know how baseball can justify taking the most cherished thing that the sport has, removing it from our country, two of the best local fan bases in all the baseball, and giving it to a country that doesn't and never, ever will give a rat's ass about the sport. Explain this to me.
Here's first of all, a couple of things. It's only a six-hour flight, so it's kind of like flying to California in their two East Coast teams. This is talking specifically about the Yankees and the Red Sox, not the other games that are played internationally. In fact, there will be two series played international other than these on April 17th and 18th. The Indians and the Twins go to San Juan, Puerto Rico on May 5th and 6th, I believe. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers and the Padres go to Monterrey, Mexico. So it's not unprecedented that they're doing it this year. That's happening this year, by the way.
Yep.
So they're adding London, not because of the history of the game.
There is none.
I hope that's not the impetus. They are doing it because they want to expand the game internationally. You take two East Coast teams, the Dodgers and the Yankees, which, to your point, BT, is one of the great rivalries in history of Major League Baseball.
History of sport.
Why not give that to an international community that doesn't have baseball in their realm, in their pedigree at all, and say, this is the best of what we do?
Because they won't appreciate the emotions that go into the rivalry. But if the goal is to grow the game, give them the game without depriving the American fan base one of the things they most look forward to during the baseball season.
But here's the real reason. John Henry, who was one of the owners of the Boston Red Sox, as you know, along with Tom Warner, and I forget the other folks in that group, they own a soccer club over in London, Liverpool.
Good for them.
And so this is an alignment of their business interests. Because let's not forget, these are Red Sox home games. These aren't Yankee home games, which I'm sure would be even more irksome to you.
They have the option of being the home team. Just to be fair.
They're given to the Red Sox. The Red Sox have the option of being good guys. Or actually, probably bad guys.
I mean, I would want to be the home team just from a strategic point of view.
So there's a strategic business role going on here. I think the bigger thing is, look, baseball wants
to
grow.
Keyword business, which I already understand. Keep going. They already understood.
Baseball wants, just like football, just like hockey, every sport. Forget sports. Talk about Amazon. Amazon says our biggest acquisition base is not in the United States. We've saturated here. I mean, hell, we're creating stuff. You want something in 2 hours? We'll get it to you. Just order on Amazon.
I know.
And that's not even a joke.
It's Toys R Us as a result of shutting. We didn't even mention that. That's awful.
As a quick aside,
what do you want from Santa?
BT, as a quick aside, Brooklyn literally cried when we told her that Toys R Us was frozen. She's like, no, you got to call Toys R Us. Like, we can still get toys.
Daddy's got a little juice.
But she just thought the toys were going away.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, like in total. So she cried when she heard that news.
Good.
A little misunderstood context.
She was raised the right way, though.
But she cared about Toys R Us closing.
Awesome.
But here's what I think about this. Baseball wants to grow. Just like every other sport, Amazon, their biggest acquisition targets are international. Football does this. We're, three games this year in the NFL are going to be played?
We did.
Yeah, maybe it's only two next year, whatever it is. Yep. There's multiple games in the NFL played.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that the international crowd is where incremental revenue comes. And so by giving them our greatest rivalry, Yankees and Red Sox, maybe it sparks something. It may not. but maybe it does. And it's two games out of 162. How can you get up in arms about this,
BT? I get up in arms with this because I am one of the people, you know, among millions, mm-hmm. who, you know, based on the emotional investment that I've had with the Yankees, Red Sox all these years.
Yeah, you're a little crazy, though.
Well, but, no, but yeah, I mean, am I, though? I mean, Marash is the same way.
That's,
you know,
good point.
I mean, come
it's
on.
Good point.
This is what, if you're a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, this is how you build. Now, obviously, I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. I mean, you dial things down. I'm not going to have 12 beers at Stan's before a game and getting crazy. You know, 1996, when the Yankees won their first World Series since 1978, I got there at 1:30 in the afternoon. I got a picture with there was about 20 Dominican fans there that I just jumped into the picture with. And I have the Dominican flag like I'm Batman holding a 40. It's crazy. Like, it's the best. I mean, you know baseball is my favorite sport.
Absolutely.
At least the first sport that I was introduced to. And I have great reverence for it, and I try to protect it. And I understand from a business point of view, everything you just said, check, 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 check.
But that's all
I
it
know
is. It's just business.
It makes sense.
It's just business,
but
baby.
But don't do business at the expense of the people who help you grow the sport. That's what bothers
but
me.
Are people,
don't screw us.
But how many people are truly going to be up in arms about
there's
losing?
Two people in this room, and one of them's not happy about it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
so that's 50%.
50%. Wow, what a representative sample.
That's cool, show. It might get lower today. I mean, it's 50%.
And Tom doesn't care. I see him lazily.
He's half asleep.
Yeah, he's lazily back there.
Anything,
and Samter doesn't
care.
Well,
he's a contrarian. He'll care about it.
So that makes it 25%. So 25%. Do we do a poll on this?
Yeah, of course we did a poll.
We did a poll on this. I'm wondering, we should make the options. Like, I really care. I'm upset. I don't give a
Can I give
know
you the
what.
Options?
Yes,
tell
give me,
me
the options.
I actually did this before the show.
I trust you to have done it correctly so that we get about 25%, which would make this room representative of America.
That's interesting. All right, so according to – and by the way, we're going to get calls on this coming up. 1-855-212-4227. I hate that. I literally hate this. But the poll question, according to reports, Yanks and the Red Sox are nearing an agreement to play a two-game set in London in June of 19. I also angle this to fit the way, kind of fit my thoughts, you know. Compromising the local aspect. This is the only important. Again, and I did this so I don't want to waste time on the business
BT
because
bias.
I get that.
I hear BT bias.
No, but a third grader can understand that growth is good for the game economically. Who the hell doesn't get that?
I know. Everybody does.
All right, so I framed it this way. Compromising the local aspect of this rivalry purely for monetary reasons is baseball sacrilege, the first option.
Okay.
Guess what I voted for?
Baseball
that one.
Sacrilege.
The second option, smart, got to grow the game.
Mm-hmm.
The third one, not sure yet. All encompassing.
Yeah.
Let's see where we stand right now. It's early. Literally just put it up. A couple of hundred votes, 48% say baseball sacrilege.
Oh.
It's early. I mean, it's really early.
It's going to trend towards what we just said. About 20.
Well, we both said two very different things.
About you, what you just said. 20. I don't know, but we collectively said, half of us, actually, three-fourths of us don't care, per se.
Well, but first of all, don't speak for D-Cell. Is he right? Is he representing your point properly?
Oh, I mean, I think it's smart for the game, yeah.
I would say get Santor on the mic, but I know he's going to line himself with Tiki's buddy. I mean, that's a given. Listen, I think all three of you guys are nuts. Or let me put it this way. All three of you are not baseball fans. I'm going to put it that way.
Well,
you're not
a huge baseball fan.
He's a huge baseball fan.
You don't even watch baseball.
I used to work at Yankee Stadium.
You used to work.
High school baseball. I played kind of club intramural baseball in college. I love baseball.
I'm not saying you weren't good.
Baseball is my first love. I love this. I love growing up in the
National. How many baseball games you watch this past year?
I didn't watch a ton of them.
You're not a baseball fan anymore. Don't just try to be a contrarian.
Yeah,
I've worked with you for 5 years.
But I am a football fan. I watch every football game, and I love them going to London.
Yeah.
I love international expansion. I love Mexico City. I love London. I love international expansion
of the
game.
And Puerto Rico now.
Look at what the NBA...
That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Look at what the NBA is now because of what international expansion did 20 years ago.
Are they playing games internationally in the NBA?
Look what the Dream Team
did. They go to London,
huge.
They go to London.
Here's the thing.
Different sport, different part of the world.
To a little bit of your point, and we'll take a break here, BT. You're right. I didn't grow up a baseball fan. I watched the Braves because they were on TBS.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, cool.
You had a good team, too. Dale Murphy, back-to-back MVP.
Exactly. It's like,
I like the Glenn Hubbard,
right?
The good one right there.
But I didn't love the game.
Yep.
I didn't start appreciating baseball until you until I met you. And you started explaining it to me. And I met CeCe and met some of the Yankees. I was like, oh, these guys are cool. Let me watch what they do. It's like, all right, they're pretty good. And that's when I started appreciating baseball. But it didn't happen until a decade ago. You know what I mean? At best, a decade ago. Most likely about 5 years ago.
I got you. I understand where you're coming from.
So it doesn't bother me. I can look at it without emotion.
Pragmatically, just from a business sense.
See it from a business standpoint.
No doubt about it. And I figured that's the position you would take, and I anticipated that because I know how you're built. I know how you're constructed. You know, not just from a sports point of view, but you know your sense, your business savvy.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm debating.
Yeah.
Teak, even to remove the Yankees from it for a second, if the Orioles and the Red Sox were, or even if it was the aforementioned Dodgers and Giants. I mean, I might be dialed down 5% that I am to start the show. Maybe that extra little, you know, oomph is because I'm a Yankee fan. Maybe. But if I would be as protective of something that has this significance, even if it didn't include the Yankees, I truly... Oh, jeez. Look at that one. Oh, God. Do you actually want to grade that? I know you don't want to grade that running style.
I can see the knee lift not happening.
Oh, jeez. Talk about slow. Although that was a base hit. That was just ugly looking. Sweet uniforms, though. Right?
Yeah, it was all right.
All right. What year is that?
No logo on the helmet? What's up?
I think it's... I had pine tar. Like George Brett had to make it look good. All right. We'll get... If I wasn't going to hit well, I had to look good, which I did, but I didn't hit well. We'll get calls coming up. All right. You know where I stand. You know where my man stands. Paul is up there. I hate it. Tiki gets it differently. And that guy in the purple shirt on the other side, D-Cell, he's a fraud. Your call's coming up next. Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. You know, I was so revved up to start, I didn't even tell you what's coming up today. So let me do that very quickly before we get to these calls, tell you what's happening. Bruce Weber, looks like we'll get him around 4:20 Eastern. K-State head coach, get ready for Kentucky.
Nice.
That's coming up on Thursday they play. Third hour, Chris Middleton, proud Aggie.
He went bonkers last night, even though they lost. The Bucks against the Cavs, he scored 30. But LeBron scored 40 and had a triple-double.
And Kevin Love looked pretty good as well. So, and by the way, maybe they had an upgrade in coaching.
Very true.
But we'll get with Chris Middleton. He's going to join us, of course, the Bucks.
He was doing some interesting things.
Different strategy. They play Michigan on Thursday. That's at the Staples Center. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Seth Davis will stop by as well in hour number two. So, you heard the opening comments. You know where we stand here. I would add this too: the decision to take away such baseball royalty. That's what bothers me. Not the concept of growing the game. Of course, I'm down with that. It makes sense economically. Please, that's so rudimentary. Everybody understands you're going to make more money the more you market and expand. But imagine the Cowboys and the Giants playing in London.
Yeah.
Imagine the Packers and the Vikings.
Yeah.
Or the Raiders and the Chiefs.
Yeah, all historical, but all actually current. Even more. How about the Steelers and the Bengals?
Which has become
maybe the biggest one because of the animosity.
Yep.
When the ways that they've met, knocked out of the postseason a couple years ago. The Bengals were that is when the Steelers bested them. That was the Antonio Brown hit from Burfict. Yeah, all those things.
Schuster, right?
Juju Smith-Schuster last year standing over him. Yeah, if you played one of those games, it's one thing to take the Jacksonville Jaguars before they're the Jacksonville Jaguars and ship them overseas. Hey, you guys want to go reestablish in London? Good for you, man. Nobody's going to care, even though they probably might miss them nowadays because they're actually positioned to be really good for the foreseeable, you know, at least the next 4 or 5 years if Blake Bortles is good. It's different. But if you take rivalry games, like the big ones, the historical ones in the NFL, and you move those to London in the 9:30 a.m. game, the novelty game that we talked about on these 3 or 4 Sundays that we have, I think the local fans would be upset about it because they're losing that game.
Yeah.
But the difference is that in football, it's one of one. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's one time you're playing that division rival at home. It's only one time you're doing it. In baseball, I mean, it's
yeah. Some Red Sox played 19 times.
Exactly.
Not lost on me. It's more the symbolism because the more we keep giving, it went from let's go to Tokyo, let's go here, let's play a couple of games. Now you can have opening day. Now you can have Yankees, Red Sox. Enough.
Yeah, opening day.
I want to protect our stuff.
Opening day is the one I can see being upset about. Okay. Truly.
All right. Matt is in Boston, and Matt is on Tiki and Tierney. Matty, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How we doing?
Good,
okay,
man.
What's up?
BT, I'm with you all the way on this one. And here's the reason that has me so annoyed with the London trip, and it preferably relates to my team, the Red Sox. The Red Sox are just over-the-top overkill when it comes to marketing, 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 and selling stuff. And it ties into what you said, Tiki, about the soccer program that they have over there.
Hey, Matt, you're talking about even locally it's over-the-top, like up there in Boston?
Oh, Tiki, it's ridiculous.
I haven't been there in a long time. It's been probably decades since I've been to a game up there.
Let me tell you something, okay? The minute that they signed Pablo Sandoval a few years ago, that pathetic contract that they gave him, they were selling panda dolls like left and right online and at the park the next day. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Not even original. That's not even because the Giants were doing that when he was actually good.
The second part is, I got to hear David Price, who is not high on my list of favorite people anyway.
He hates Boston.
Complain and complain and complain and complain about how he is going to have to go to London, even though it's not like he's going to the electric chair or something. It's ridiculous how even the littlest things to this team, they take it as if it's the end of the world, and that's what really has me up in arms about it.
Well, you know what should really have you up in arms? This is what should really bother you more than anything, Matt. The Yankees going to knock the stuffing out of your pitching staff this year. That's what you should really be upset about, buddy. Thanks for the call, man. Craig is in Ohio. I think Craig disagrees with me and Matt. What's up, Craig? How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Good, man. I have to agree. It's equivalent of one game, a home game for each team.
Yep.
It's not at the end of the season where it could actually affect
the postseason.
No. I'll certainly let you finish. That is not accurate. Every single game literally means the same amount. 1/162nd of the game of the year. That's just true.
But BT, traveling at the end of the season would have more of an effect than traveling in April. Correct?
Yes, and then exactly.
I'll grant you.
Thank you, Craig.
To me, it doesn't have as big of an impact, I guess, is what I should say.
You're an Indians fan, Craig?
Yes, I am.
Big one?
Oh, a huge Indians
fan. So you don't mind the San Juan Puerto Rico game that's going to happen in mid-April against the Twins?
No, and I'll be honest, I'll tell you why. I'm not a season ticket holder.
I see, yeah.
And
you're not losing anything.
I'm not like I'm going to every single game, and if they missed even four at home, it's not like I would be going to all four of those games that are.
Yeah, you catch them on TV, get them on the radio. No, I understand that. But now they're playing who? Indians are playing who?
The Twins, Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, it's divisional, but
it's not.
The Twins are better. Indians are really good, but Indians, Twins, does that move the meter nationally at all? No, it's not Yankees, Red Sox. It's not Giants, Dodgers. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Mets, Nationals, some of the. What do you think the five, real quick, five best baseball rivalries are? Yanks, Red Sox, Dodgers, Giants, two obviously. What else jumps out to you?
You know, I think it's a burgeoning one, though, now because they're in the same division, Astros, Rangers. Doesn't have quite the same history behind it, but Cardinals, Cubs.
Great call. Forgot that. I should never forget about that, so that's an obvious one. Nicky's out in Pennsylvania. Before we get the update from Mac, Nick is on Tiki and Tierney. Nick, what's happening? How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question.
Sure, Nicky.
Globalization of American products like McDonald's, Levi's.
See them everywhere.
Aren't you proud of that? Wouldn't you want to see baseball go in that direction?
Nicky, that was my point. You take the greatest rivalry that we offer in baseball and you hand it to London. It's 2 of 19 games. The other 17 are going to be here. You know, half at home, half away, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say, this is what we're about, right? Be proud of it.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Nicky. BT does it.
Well, conceptually, I do in terms of brand expansion, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but specific to a sport, I do and I don't. I think the line of delineation in this room is the fandom aspect. Thanks for the call, Nick. Interesting point. And I like the way you approach it.
Yeah.
But it's, it's put it this way. If we always talk about baseball and how it's dying, which, by the way, is wildly inaccurate because every metric supports the exact opposite. But if there aren't people like me who stand up for the sport of baseball in this medium that we call radio and TV, who the hell is? I mean, honestly, Jim Rome is the man. Jim Rome's not going to go on this kind of rant for baseball. This guy doesn't like baseball the way I do.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Cowherd doesn't care about baseball the way I do. These people don't care about baseball the way I do. So somebody's got to do it. and I'm proud to do it. And I don't do it for show. I don't do it for clicks. I do it because baseball still means something to me. And while I want to expand and I want America to be everywhere, I don't want it to be at our expense.
Yeah.
That's where we fundamentally disagree.
And I think some people, like me, agree with it.
No
even
doubt.
If it is at the expense of certain traditions.
I'm just speaking for myself. I'm not going to try to change the world. You know where I stand, and yep. I know where you stand. I got you,
excellent
brother.
Excellent thing.
No doubt. 1-8-5-
where does Zach stand?
Yeah, who knows? 1-855-212-4222.
On the side of Ryan.
Get football at the 40s coming up after this. By the way, you can tweet about this topic all day. We'll certainly be reading. Go and vote on the poll. We got Seth Davis. We have Bruce Weber, head coach at K-State. Chris Middleton for the Bucks, but also played at A&M. They're playing in the Sweet 16. They take on Michigan on Thursday night. So we got it all. Axe update coming at you right now. Okay, CBS Sports Radio toll-free line is toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little scratch. Switch to Geico if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance as well. Get it all at geico.com. That was the absolute worst read in the history of the show. That was just a butcher job. Good God, that was awful. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, look, we have
CBS Sports Network. Yeah,
we have football at the 40s coming up here in a second, but you just saw, I don't know if this is brand new, but I think it was happened yesterday. Tyrann Mathieu signed with the Houston Texans. It's a good move for them.
Mm-hmm. You think? I think it's
hungry.
A great move.
They already got a really good defense. Who knows if J.J. Watt is ever going to be right again? Mm-hmm. But they're good even without him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a plus. And now you get the honey badger. You can play everywhere, whether it's safety, comes down into the slot. You need the nickel linebacker who's, you know, a DB. I think it's a great signing for them, especially in that division.
I agree. I didn't know that was where he was going to wind up. We were throwing some possibilities out, like the Raiders last week when the Cardinals released him. A few others made some sense. But Texans, I mean, if Deshaun Watson comes back healthy, and it looks like he should, I mean, they're going to be a handful,
right.
Especially if they have a good draft,
you're
no
right.
question.
On paper, they'll be the team, but we always know what paper means.
Nothing. Tiki and Tierney here on a Tuesday. Seth Davis next hour, along with Chris Middleton. You and I were just talking before the break. We'll get this more in depth later. Next hour we'll do this. But Dan Hurley, I know our buddy John Rothstein just tweeted something out about he's got a firm monetary amount from the Pittsburgh job in terms of the offer. What's this from there?
John Rothstein on Twitter, at John with a no H, Rothstein. Pitt has offered Dan Hurley a multi-year deal in excess of $3 million annually. That's Pitt, to be the next head coach per multiple sources. UConn and URI, meaning him staying at URI, are still in play because URI is going to have to give him a raise here.
Pony up time.
Yep. The offer made to Dan Hurley by both UConn and Rhode Island are less monetarily than what Pitt offered, but everything is still in play. Decision should be in the next day or so.
Okay. Maybe this is more with my heart, but I said yes. Full prediction. Mm-hmm. No inside intel on this one. I think my guess is he's going to stay only because I don't – and maybe I'm answering it from my seat. I don't love the options right now.
Yep.
I think there's better options next year.
Look, Pitt –
and they're going to be good next year,
Pitt,
Rhode Island.
Pitt's tough.
Very
Rhode
tough.
Island's going to be good.
Uh-huh.
And UConn, let's face it, is complicated.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Ollie was fired, but he was fired with just cause, which means that $10 million that they owe him on his contract, they didn't pay him.
The buyout.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Ollie
is
going to take it to court or arbitrate it or fight it. So it's not going to be pretty for the next however long this process takes just to get rid of Kevin Ollie. They're still paying him because he's under appeal right now of his firing.
Okay, there you go. Good stuff. Football at the 40s. Let's go. Okay, Joe Thomas, you know, pretty interesting, and this is not meant as a dig at all. Why would it be? He's a great player and a funny guy and a pretty witty guy, but does it seem like the Joe Thomas show is maybe a little bigger than it needs to be at this point? I mean, did anybody even know who he was 5 years ago?
I mean,
really?
If you know football,
you
did, because he's one of the great tackles, never missed a Pro Bowl. Well, he missed one, but, I mean, he's everywhere right now. He was at the Cavs game last night.
Wearing a brown shirt, too. A little corny.
A little corny.
I mean, imagine you wearing a Giants shirt at a Knick game. I mean, the day after you retire.
Walk down the street in my jersey. Oh, wait, my brother did that. Acted like he was.
No, your wife just does that. Tracy wears the jersey.
That's true.
There you go. Well, listen, anyway you cut it, Joe Thomas, great career. And he is witty. He had a little fun slicing up some of his old teammates. A little roast job. Here he is. Okay. A couple of doubles there. I don't know if I heard any home runs.
A couple of them hit.
A couple of bombs, though. Let's be honest. A couple of awkward exceptions.
He's
got to
work on his delivery.
Yeah, and you're reading it. That's one thing if you're just trying to go off the cuff and ad-lib and be funny on the spot.
Extemporaneously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you couldn't have constructed a better script than that. It was okay. On a scale of 1 to 10.
I think it was okay.
I think it was like a 4.
You gotta have so much knowledge of the Browns' inner workings to be for that to be funny.
Oh, no, I got it all.
Yeah. Oh, no, I did too.
I just got it,
but the delivery wasn't well.
That's what he has to work on.
Yeah.
Okay, more sound for you. Sean McDonough. Now, this actually came out last week, but we have the sound for you now. And Sean, I love him doing basketball. The Monday night booth, I'm not saying it's an easy job. I critiqued it, you know, respectfully a few times here on Tiki and Tierney. Just, it was flat.
Yeah.
It was an odd mix. It just never felt fun.
Yeah.
It felt heavy.
It's almost like he didn't care.
It felt heavy, didn't it? It just felt like work.
Which is odd because in college football, he has some of the most exciting calls that you can think of. Now they're out of control a little bit, but they're awesome in college football.
I got you.
Not in the NFL.
Well, he took us behind the curtain a little bit more. Here is Sean McDonough's thoughts on what it was like to be in the Monday Night Booth and whether or not he's going to really miss this. Pretty honest. Go ahead. Yeah, it wasn't really fun for us either, but mainly because the games stink.
Yeah,
that's a big part of the equation that he talked about.
A lot of people will assume that he's talking about John Gruden, that he didn't enjoy working with John Gruden. I don't think it was that. Maybe it was a little bit, but what he explicitly said is the games weren't any good. We had the worst games every week, and he was kind of right. And by Monday night, because games start on Thursday now, there's a lot of fatigue. Football fatigue by Monday night.
So, but not for McDonough. It's not like he's doing 10 games over. He shouldn't be fatigued.
I'm talking about fan fatigue.
Yep.
So unless it's a great game, it's really hard to get up for it.
But you know what? Here's where I'm going to challenge you a little bit. It's his job to be up for
it. Oh, I agree.
You know, I mean,
I don't disagree.
You get paid probably millions. I'm definitely millions to broadcast Monday night football. Have a little fun. We all know the games, for the most part, were bad. We're going to acknowledge that. You got dealt a bad set of cards. Make the best of it. Just kind of felt like it didn't feel like Gruden was going through the motions. It kind of felt like Sean was a little bit.
Well, you kind of try to guess. I know Gruden is this, like through the roof.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
I have to be the antithesis of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably went too far. Well, you know what I mean?
That's interesting. Was the disparity in emotions too wide to begin with?
Sometimes the gap is so obvious, it could be either really good or bad. You've heard him on college football.
Yeah, and hoops.
The botched punt by Michigan when Michigan State picked it up and scored. That was Sean McDonough. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a great call.
He's talented. I'm not saying he's not.
But I never heard that on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Maybe
it's the atmosphere of college. Which, let's face it, it's more compelling because you feel the energy of the local fan base, and it means something to so many more people on the college, at least locally on the college level. Mm-hmm. It's easy to get into it. When you're sitting in a stadium and it's like, these people give it, you know what, a heavy you know what.
And they'll talk about it all summer in the state of Michigan.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas in the NFL, it's kind of like, Hatfield Stadium, Monday night, nobody's coming, whatever.
All right.
The energy's down.
There you go. Remember a couple of years ago before the Jaguars became really good, the first thing we lauded about them was, wow, they got two really good young wide receivers, Allen Robinson from Penn State, Allen Hurns, the Allen brothers. These kids are really good. Yep. Robinson's gone, and now Allen Hurns is gone.
Yep, Allen Hurns is released. Allen Robinson signed a deal with the Chicago Bears, even though he's coming off an ACL injury. Yep. I think it's right. It's the right timing. Let's not forget, Keelan Cole had a breakout season last year. We had him on during the football. During the playoffs?
I think it was during the playoffs.
After he had that big catch.
Right down
the middle of the field against the Steelers.
Yards, maybe?
They also have Marquise Lee still there. Dede Westbrook they just drafted. Jalen Strong as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they as much as you love the Allens, they kind of got replaced pretty quickly. They have a lot of assets down there in Jacksonville, and unfortunately, Allen Hurns is the odd man out.
I think Allen Robinson is a star. Mm-hmm. I think Allen Hurns kind of fooled us, with all due respect.
Yeah,
I think
he's
certainly functional.
Had that one great year.
Yeah, over 1,000 yards, 9 or 10 touchdowns. But really, the other three seasons, largely unproductive, maybe because of who's throwing him the ball, whatever. But phased out kind of quick, and interesting to see. You know where he might fit in nicely? Maybe Dallas. They need another receiver.
Yep.
A couple. I mean, my Jets can use one. There's a lot of teams that can. Maybe Dallas. Keep an eye. I'll throw that out there. Keep an eye for Dallas. I like this move here. Mike Pouncey to the Chargers.
Necessary
move. A lot of grit, right?
Look, they have a really good running back. He gets kind of lost in the mix of good running backs right now, but Melvin Gordon's a big, aggressive, talented player on both sides. Obviously a Wisconsin kid, and so we like those kids, Ron Dayne. But Mike Pouncey adds to this offensive line, which they gave up 3.8 yards on the ground last year. That's what they averaged rushing the ball. It was ineffective at best. Now with the addition of Pouncey, who, first of all, has to stay healthy for them to do anything, with Russell Okung and Forrest Lamp and Joe Barksdale, they can have a good offensive line for Phillip Rivers, swan song years, and hopefully give him a chance to get into the postseason, which he hasn't done with any regularity.
Okay, how about this? Remember, I guess that would have been 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Eric Ebron seemed like he was going to be...
Top 10 pick, man.
Yeah, a legitimate star. Never quite panned out. Yeah. Now with the Colts, no longer Lion.
I can't put my finger on it. Like, I can't... A little bit was the drops, but there was also... I don't know. There didn't seem any urgency for him to want to be great. You know what I mean? It's hard to put your finger on what went wrong with Detroit. You have a good quarterback who...
They throw the ball 75% of the time, especially then.
The ball is always up in the air.
Yep.
They chuck it to the running back a little bit, but not enough to take away from what you do with the tight end. But he's basically a failure there, and it's disappointing. He was trade bait at the middle of the season this year, and there was nobody to replace him. They just wanted to move off from him because he still had $8.5 million left on his deal. Hopefully he gets a reset with the Colts. The issue, obviously, with the Colts is who's going to be throwing him the rock.
Andrew Luck. Yeah. You mean? Look at this guy trying to start trouble.
I'm just saying, until I see it, you know me.
You've been saying that for a while. You might be right. He is. He's still only 24 years of age.
Very
interesting.
Young.
Still a young guy.
Feels like he's been around longer than that. Right?
He does. And his first year was 2014. Yeah, there's something missing there, but I wouldn't kick him to the trash heap yet.
Not yet.
Think he could still play a little.
Sometimes
bit.
Sometimes you need to reset.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Kirk Cousins' dad. Listen, we're both dads. We both have sons here. Whether it's your son or your daughter, sometimes you got to stand up for your kids, and every parent in the world would do that, and they'd walk to the mountain and jump off if it meant that the kids would be safe.
Yep.
But when your son or daughter's a pro athlete, maybe there should be a couple of rules, and maybe bashing the Redskins front office, not the best look for Kirk Cousins' dad.
Not horrible what he said, but I'm thrilled that he's part. This is now talking about the Vikings. I'm thrilled that he's part of an organization that, from every indication, is healthy, well-led organization. That was our number one priority. That was our number one thing that we were looking for, that we talked about, that we prayed about, to be part of an organization that we believed was well-led and unified, all caps, from top to bottom. So a little bit of shade.
Yeah.
Not horrible.
We get what you're throwing out there, but, Mr. Cousins. We feel you.
We get it.
All right. Okay, good stuff right there. Tiki and Tierney, hour two coming up. By the way, I saw this story this morning. Before I read it, I said, this is my first reaction. Oh, God. Here we go. Another football league? I started to read deeper and deeper and deeper. XFL, you got problems. Mm. This business model looks interesting. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.